Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real, you wanna be emptied inside, and I know my heart is to feel you near, and I know my life is to do your will, is to do your will. This is my desire.
Trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. He goes on talking about, you know, some of the Pharisees, how they would beg in the street. And they would, you know, when it would be time for them to fast, they go in the street and they throw ashes on themselves to be showed and to show themselves to everybody, to show them that they're praying. And the Lord says, I tell you what, you know, if you want to pray to your Father, go to a secret place. And where you pray in secret, the Father will bless you and hear you. So he don't want you to go and make a big scene. He wants you to go to the secret place. Secret place could be in your closet. Some people think the secret place could be mentally, you know, where you, in your mind, you're seeing the Lord, you know, in a grass meadow, or you just see him mentally. You have a image in your mind where the Lord is, and you just meet him in your mind and say, hey, Lord, because, you know, when you daydream, you could be at two places at one time sometimes, but try not to do this while you're working because it don't work out too good. But you could do it like that, or go in front of your bed, you know, and pray and just have your sacred place. I always talk about sacred places in your household. In the sacred place, you don't have many people going in there. It's only for you to pray. It's like a designated place that you pray. A lot of people have prayer closets. You know, they say, go to your prayer closet. That can be a designated place for you and the Lord to talk. But I always try to tell people to, you know, have a relationship with God. Daily walk with the Lord. Walk with him daily. And what I mean by walking with him daily is talk to him. Act like he's beside you. We had Daniel Bryant on here not too long ago, and he talked about how he communicated with the Holy Spirit. He said one day he started raking leaves and talked like he was there. He did that for so long, the Holy Spirit just showed up and started talking with him. Because the Holy Spirit was like, hey, this fellow really wants to speak to me, so I'll talk to him. So I guess he's trying to figure out, was he kind of loopy in the head, or was you actually talking to him? He's trying to figure it out, so once you figure out you were really talking to him, he shows up. It's just a joke, just picking there, but it's, you know, he knows when to speak to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to me in many different ways. He speaks to me in visions. He speaks to me out in the open. He speaks to me inside of me. He speaks to me in many different ways. The Lord Jesus has spoke to me out loud one time in my life. I like to hear that more, but I only heard him one time. It's like a deep voice. I've heard him talk inside of me. I mean, he would put, like, download, you know, messages to me. I'll say something that nobody else would know, nothing that the enemy could manipulate. It's just a knowing that I would know. I mean, he talks to me in many different ways. You've got to know the ways that he speaks to you. You've got to know his voice. But it's very awesome to have a communication with the Lord. And the first thing I ask everybody to do when they first come to the Lord is talk to him while you're going down the road in your car. Normally in your car, you have all the time in the world. You have nothing really stopping you. The only thing you have to do is just speak. They're talking about your boyfriends or your girlfriends or your husband or your wife, whoever it may be. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He'll listen to anything. He's curious about you. He'll listen to anything. Anything about your mate, about your kids, well, he'll listen to you. Just build that communication. If you got any personal things you're worrying about, talk to that about him. Just build up communication. You start seeing things move. You start seeing problems move out of the way. And you'd be surprised what I speak to the Holy Spirit about kids or about work or whatever, and you'll see things move. Because he actually is listening to you. He ain't just guessing there, you know, sitting there hanging, well, let's see. He's really listening to you, and you'll see things move in your life. You know, make a designated time. And I'm going to tell you one thing. There's one thing that God didn't like in the Old Testament and Jesus didn't like in the New Testament. And that's making a big show of yourself when you pray. If you've got to tell everybody that you're praying at 12 o'clock or at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning and you're announcing that, the Pharisees did the same thing. If you're going out in front of your house and praying and yelling out prayers, the Pharisees did the same thing. God wants you to do this in private. He wants to be your personal Savior, not the one that you're showing off to show how mighty and how holy you are. Because the Lord had Pharisees that denied him and crucified him that did that back in his day. Caleb Williams was one that did it in private, and he knew who they were. He knew what they were doing, and he was dedicated to them. But the Lord did say, he said, the ones that prayed out in the open, they will get their blessings too, but not like the ones that's doing it in private. The ones that do it in private will get their blessings too. Tremendous blessings for having that strict communication with the Lord, not trying to show off to have a you know, that communication with the Lord is your personal time. Your car time could be your personal time with the Lord. Put him into your life, and you'll be surprised what happens. I mean, my thing was, is ever since I was a child, and I'm going to tell you, I wasn't no holy child by no means. I did a lot of bad things. I did a lot of sins when I was a kid. But I did love the Lord. I didn't act like it, but I did. I did love the Lord. As we all, as kids, have done, we've all backslid and did a lot of bad things when we was a kid. But I did know how to pray to God. Now Lamy was one of them before I went to bed. Then when I got older, I learned Thy Father, who art in heaven, prayer. And then from then on, I would just start talking to him. And even when I was a kid, I had a little place where I prayed. It was a private place. It was in the back of my grandfather's garage where I would always pray. I had a little cross in there and everything. It was just, my situation was is that I really had no father. My father left me when I was 2 months old. I had a stepfather that didn't really care about me, didn't really want me around. So I didn't really have no communication there, anybody to look up to. So I had a grandfather, which was my mom's dad, and he cared about me, but he was busy working and doing things. So I really had nobody, a real father figure, I'll say. A father figure was my one that would teach you and lead you and guide you in many different ways. So God was the only one I had, but I didn't really know. I didn't really know, you know, he didn't talk back, but you could talk to him, and things would happen. So it took me to my older years till I started hearing anything back. But when I was younger, I just knew that he was there. I knew I could talk to him. He would listen. And, you know, I was told he was loving, even though I'd go to Sunday school and that, and I would hear a lot of loving things. I'd hear some good things that he did. Then they jumped to the Old Testament and hear bad things that he didn't like people. So I was confused in church with some of the teachings and doctrines that was there. But anyway, I did learn to pray because that's the only way I had of having communication or counseling, because I had nobody to talk to when I was a kid. So that's how I built up my prayer time, was when I was a child. I had nobody to talk to, so I talked to God. Instead of an imaginary guy like a lot of these little kids have, I had God. So I talked to him, and I'm going to tell you, I was not perfect. By no means, I did some bad things. I was around a lot of bad things, but I did talk to God. And I did build up a prayer life that way. It started from in the morning to when I got in trouble, and, you know, like you would run to your daddy when you got in trouble. Well, I prayed to God. Because I didn't really have a daddy that really cared, so I just prayed to God. So that was how I communicated. And that was just how I built my prayer life. When you're stuck in a situation like that, you have no other choice So that's how I started my prayer life. And, you know, I ask people to start their prayer life easier. You know, if you not pray to God at all in your childhood, that, you know, you weren't really Christian, start off early, you know, in your walk with the Lord. You know, just talk to him in a car. And that's what I did. I talked to God all the time. And I remember one time I knew I was going to get a beating. I got a lot of beatings when I was a child, just because you need somebody to take stuff out on. So I was the only one there. So I would pray to get out of beatings. And what would happen was I'd go to church. I would pray, please, Lord, let me not get this. Let me not get this. So all of a sudden, I'll go home and I wouldn't get a spanking. And it would be over with. And it was like amazing because I saw God do things in that way. Now, I'm not going to tell you I got out all my spankings. By no means I did. But I got out some. And I saw God work. It was just so many different things I saw God do in my life to keep me alive, keep me going through everyday life. But that's how a lot of people that's had bad childhoods, that had a bad life, that's how they build communication up with God. They had nobody else, or they was in so much trouble that they needed somebody. And that's when God could use these people a lot. And that's how he used me. And it took me until I got older to understand a lot of things. But I learned a prayer life. I learned how to talk to God. I didn't go around praying for people for them to get healed. I didn't do that at that time. I didn't do that till my middle 30s. I started doing that, or I'll say my 30s. But anyway, that's the way I built my prayer life. But like I said, I do tell everybody to start off small and then go out to something big. And then, you know, if you want to learn, you know, hands-on healing, prayers like that, get more into it. Healing prayer is a little bit different than just regular praying, because a lot of people don't understand praying to the Lord for like help or something like that, and praying for healing is a little different. Because one instant is that God wanted us, or the Lord Jesus wanted us, to pray for everybody that was sick, not just beg for him to come, because he gave us the Holy Spirit to do this, okay? So since he gave us the Holy Spirit to do this, he expected us to do it, to pray for sickness and it leaves, because he already gave us the power to do it. He didn't want us to beg for it. I saw a lot of people beg for healing. He did not want us to beg for healing. He wanted us to activate the healing. Thing in my name, and he will do it. He didn't say, ask the Father anything in my name. He might think about it. Oh, he'll give it a week and think a little bit longer, and he'll do it. No, he said he will do it. So when you ask anything in his name, in Jesus' name, he will heal them. He won't beat around the bush. He will heal them. So it's more of a healing session that you're doing on them when you're praying for healing. Now, if your prayer session is turned into like a prayer, you're not doing something right. You're not doing something right. 85% of the prayers in the Bible, I'll say 90% of the prayers in the Bible that they did for healing, it was all hands-on. 85% of it was hands-on praying. They never did pray for somebody to get healed that much. I don't even know if they did at all. It was basically hands-on, and they commanded it to be done, and it was done. Or they anointed somebody's head with oil, and they prayed, and it was done. It wasn't like a whole 15, 20, or 1,000 people in a church praying for one person. They didn't do that. It was hands-on praying, and that was it. Now, there would be a lot of people praying for somebody to get out of jail, or praying for the Lord to bring a blessing to their congregation, or to deliver him from an army or, you know, anything like that, yeah, pray for healing that way. The early Christians didn't pray for healing that way. It was all with their hands on them, and they commanded it for it to be done. That's how they did healing. The way we pray for healing nowadays is completely wrong. It's not Christian. It's more religious. Nowadays, people going out praying the street, laying on of hands, they're doing it the correct way. If you got a whole congregation praying for one person to get well, you're doing something wrong, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to send somebody out of your congregation to lay hands and expect them to get healed. Not maybe, or maybe it's God's will. No, expect them to get healed and watch them get healed. And if ain't nothing happening, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit, or have somebody that's already really baptized in the Holy Spirit that's having miracles, signs, and wonders happening around them. Now, if they're saying they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and ain't nothing going on, most likely they really not. They just think they are. But if they got things happening on around them, like miracles, signs, and wonders, and God's working through them, ask them to pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, you'll get one. Or go to your prayer closet and ask for God to send you one. You can get it either way. It says in the Word of God, in the book of Acts, that apostles laid hands on people and prayed for baptism, and they got it. And we can still do it today. I've did hundreds of people like that. And they all got activated and healed. I prayed for a guy over online to India. And actually prayed for him, not even for a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he got one anyway and got activated and healed. So, you know, that's how that works. But if you're going praying for people and nothing's working, most likely you're not activated, or I say, what I mean by activated is you don't get really filled with the Holy Spirit for that to be opened. You need to get Spirit filled. Now, there is one thing that I can tell you is you can work in authority. You can work in authority, or you can work in full healing, and that's when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Authority is commanding demons to come out, but healing is baptism. You got to have the Holy Spirit pouring over you to do a healing. That's one thing you got to have. There's every once in a while you can pray. I mean, if you're not, you can pray and God the Father go and do it. But most likely, all your healings will come from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is surrounding you. Most likely, it will all be done through Him. But you got to be covered in Him. He's got to be covered in you for when you get close to Him, you know, something happens. So you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's a lot how that stuff works, you know. Back in biblical times, hands-on for healing. Back in biblical times, praying in groups was for deliverance of war, deliverance of or people out of escaping out of prison, or they're needing God to help their community, something like that. It was never for healing. It was never for healing. All healing was hands-on praying. That's how that was done. Read in the book of Acts, read during Jesus' times, it will show you, it will tell you what happened. So if you're going to church and your whole church is praying for one person, they're not doing anything biblical, it's religious. And if I was you, I wouldn't anticipate, because basically it's showing you that your faith is very weak, that you've got to have hundreds of people to do it. And if we're all praying and nobody's getting healed, y'all got a bigger problem. You might need to find a different church, because they are not filled. That church is not filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's the use of going there if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit? You can't. You won't be healed. You won't be transformed, and you won't grow in your Christian walk, because they don't have it. They can get it. They can get it, but they just don't have it. And if you don't want to leave, get where they can get the Holy Spirit in their church. Pray for it. ask for it, he'll deliver. It's just you got to want it. You got to want it. You got to show it. And that's when you get start seeing things move in your spiritual congregation, because God only comes when you want him there. But if you want your programs and stuff like that, he won't come. He wants when you want him, when you have a eagerness for him, he'll come. But if you don't really want him, you just want some type of activity, you know, he's not interested in activity. He's interested in you worshiping him and him loving you. That's what he's interested in. But that's a little bit about prayer. I just want to get people to know a little bit difference between prayers, what to do, what not to do, what it is when you're praying, the best way to pray, like I said, in private, or talk to him in your car, just talk to him as a friend. That's one good way of praying. The Lord's Prayer is a very famous prayer that we all use. Don't use any, one thing I didn't say is don't use any made-up prayers. Learn how to pray yourself. Make up your own prayer and make it personal. Don't do pre-read prayers. A lot of churches do that, but it's great to make it your own because he likes what you do. He don't like what some guy did 100 years ago he wrote for you to memorize. No, he wants you to be able to do it yourself. The Lord's Prayer is something that the Lord gave, not some priest or something gave. Prayer is great. But it's only there to start to show you how to pray. It's not there for you to do that all the time. He's trying to show you how to pray. And just study the Lord's Prayer and see how Jesus put it. But like I said, you know, prayers is made, one thing is made out of prayers is praying for your country, your family, praying for, you know, your community, praying for your church is great. But for healing, you don't do it in a crowd. You do it hands-on. You do it hands-on. That's the best, or a few people with hands-on. If you're in a church, it says biblically, it says the elders and the preacher to lay hands on and anoint with oil and pray. But if you're doing it yourself, do your hands-on. Hands-on and pray and command the sickness to leave in Jesus' name, and you'll see some results. You got to expect it to happen. He said, if you got faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You have faith that person is going to get healed, you're going to move mountains. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Don't go in there thinking about them being sick, because you're just going to add more power to it. Go and see them well. Expect the Lord to heal them, and he will. And you're not doing it. You're not doing the healing. He's doing it. So just go and activate it. Pray for him. If nothing happens right then, check the day, check another day and see what happens. Because if you go in with faith and pray, there's something going to happen. I know it will. I've saw it every time. I've always saw something happen. Jesus ain't McDonald's. He don't have a fast food window. A lot of times it is fast. I have saw things instantly heal bunches of times. Legs grow out, all type of things like that. But sometimes it may take a couple of days. So just keep a check on them. You will see results. It's just keep faith in it. Don't cut it down. Just keep faith in it. You'll see results. So never break your faith in your prayers, because they are so very important. But folks, that's all I'm going to talk about prayers today. I'll say God bless every one of y'all. And one thing I am going to ask is, if anybody wants to receive the Lord tonight, to say this prayer with me, to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I hand all my sins to you. I repent of all the sins I've done. I set them at the foot of your cross. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me. I also accept that you rose on the third day for me. And I ask you to live in my heart forever. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. And so it is. If you just said this prayer, welcome to the family. God bless you. And, you know, if you need any information or know anything about the Christian walk, go to the Healing Light Show and just message us, and we'll send you what we can, and find a nearby church and join a church. And let the Lord change your heart. At this time, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to come upon these people to accept the Lord. Come upon them with power, with your fire and glory. Just fill them up now in Jesus' name. Just fill them up with your Holy Spirit. Reveal your peace and your love to them now in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank every one of y'all that listened to my show tonight. And I hope y'all come back for Saturday morning. We're going to have a guest. He deals in the Lord actually delivers rubies and stuff to him and his wife. And they do a lot of where the Lord does all type of miracles during their events that they have. So this should be very exciting. Just come and join us and listen to us Saturday morning at 9:30. God bless every one of y'all, and I'll see you then.